Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Alan Chartok. For the first concert of the 2015 Tanglewood season, the Boston Symphony Orchestra celebrates our country's heritage during Independence Day weekend with an all-American program of music by John Harbison, George Gershwin, Aaron Copland, and Duke Ellington. Jacques Lacombe conducts, and he joins us now to tell us more. Jacques Lacombe, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
So, from Canada to New Jersey, what's going on in New Jersey that's cultural that really makes it different from other orchestras?
Well, there's a lot happening in New Jersey. I mean, I've been there. I started in 2008. I just concluded my fifth season as a music director. It's a fascinating place to be. Well, first of all, I mean, it's located in this, by the biggest pool of, you know, fantastic musicians in the world, being very near between New York and Philadelphia. And I guess the unique situation of the New Jersey Symphony is we're one of the rare state orchestras in the country. So that means that we're basically on the tour every week. We serve in six different venues. So that's very positive in terms of, you know, building, you know, audience relationships. And also for the orchestra, it gives us an opportunity to play quite a bit. In terms of, you know, more specifically to your question, since I took the job, I was fascinated by, well, first of all, the amount of talents that are coming out of, you know, New Jersey. I initiated in my first couple of years the New Jersey Roots Project, which has been quite successful, discovering music written by a Jersey composer or composers who had links with the state. And yeah, and also young artists that we try to promote from New Jersey. And it's been a great run.
When you say you're a state orchestra, does that mean that the state pays the bills?
Yeah, well, we are subsidized in part by the state. I don't remember exactly what level, but I think it's just under maybe the 12th of the budget or something like that. But like many other orchestras, I mean, the main challenge is just to find, you know, funding and sponsorships and so forth. But I think the last couple of years, the numbers have been improving. I know it's for many organizations in the state challenging in the last, I mean, since the crisis of 2008 and 9 and so forth. But we're in a good place in terms of our halls are pretty well attended, which is also a challenge, especially in this part of the world where the competition is so high. But I sense that there's a pride also and a sense of ownership, first by the musicians towards the organization, but also to our different audiences. And maybe that's something that makes New Jersey special as well.
Who are your personal musical heroes?
Well, it's funny because I'm French-Canadian.
Yeah.
You may hear that a little bit in my accent.
Indeed.
So I grew up basically musically here in Montreal, and then I went to study in Vienna. So my background is partly, I guess, French, but also partly German because of my training. And then at the beginning of my career, I was assistant with Montreal Symphony, assistant to Charles Dutoit. So I've learned a lot from that relationship. And I have a great admiration and respect for Charles. I mean, in certain repertoire, he's really, obviously in all the French repertoire, but also the Russian repertoire, Stravinsky, for instance, he does very, does a lot of things very well. But I've learned a lot from the contact with him. And then from my years in Vienna, of course, I was a great admirer of Karajan, but probably above all, Carlos Kleiber, who I had the chance to see a couple of times, both in concerts and at the opera. And for me, that's a very unique case and a very strong, powerful model. And I also had the privilege to get to know Leonard Bernstein. As a matter of fact, I served as one of his last assistants for his last concert with the Vienna Philharmonic when he recorded there's a video of that Bruckner Ninth that he did with the Philharmonic, and that was very inspiring.
Wait, you sound so young. How old are you?
I'm 51.
Well, that is young. So,
for a conductor, I guess you're right.
Well, when the guy who's talking to you is 74, that is young. So, let's go to Tanglewood for a moment. What does that mean to you?
I made my debut last year with DSO at Tanglewood, and it was really a great experience. I mean, it's a top organization. I mean, the history behind that, and now this year we're celebrating the 75th anniversary festival. And I had a great time last year. It was an interesting program. I was called last year to replace slightly at the last minute, I guess after the passing of Raphael Frühbeck de Burgos.
Oh, yes.
Maybe like 2 months before the concert, something like that, they contacted me. And the program was quite original last year because the first half was Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto with Gabriela Montero. And the second half was dedicated to Verdi, celebrating the Verdi anniversary last year. And so we did a piece from Nabucco and the act to the second half, finale act two of Aida. And for me, that was a great way to be introduced to the orchestra because I wear sort of both hats. I'm a symphonic conductor, but I'm also an opera conductor. I do a lot of operas, mostly in Europe, and most of my symphonic work in America, but there's sometimes a bit of a mix. But I like to do both, and that program last year really represented basically my profile as a conductor.
And the Nabucco, would you consider that difficult? It's beautiful music. Is it hard to conduct?
Again, it's a tough question because I mean, if you want to do things right, it's everything is hard. But I guess the funny thing is at the beginning of my career, especially with Nabucco, Aida is a later work, and it's different. But the works from the first period. At the beginning of my career, it took me a while to understand the style of Verdi. And for instance, there are like these figures in accompaniment that are seem at first, when you look at it just superficially, he seems to be using the same formulas for different dramatic situations. But once you understand how to perform those little details, this music becomes really, really exciting to do as a performer. And as I said at the beginning, when I, as a young musician, at first I didn't really get that. But the more, I mean, I've done a lot of Verdi operas, and now I just love it.
It's terrific. So let me ask you this: we're going to see you at Tanglewood in the All American program. You're going to do Harbison, Gershwin, Copland, Ellington. So those are four people. Who chooses those? Did you choose them, or did Tony Fogg choose them? Who chooses them?
I believe that was the administration. When they contacted me, the program was already on the table. But this is stuff that I've conducted. I mean, some of it is not very often done. But for instance, the Ellington Harlem, I conducted that I think in 2012 for the opening of our season in New Jersey. So I've done the piece recently, and it was again a great. I mean, a very very interesting program and a great program. I have. Especially with Gershwin, I feel a very special relationship. When I first started studying music, one of the first record that I ever owned, LP, was a recording of Rhapsody in Blue. And I just had started studying piano. I had like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years of piano. And I was so amazed by this music that I started as a young music student to try to write down Rhapsody in Blue, just to take Rhapsody in Blue in dictation. And I mean, so I feel I grew up with this music. And for the anecdote, a couple of months after I started to try to write Rhapsody, which is not an easy task for a young kid, I by accident came to went to a music store and came across a solo piano version of Rhapsody in Blue. So I had the book to compare with what I had written. So this, I feel that since I've been a kid, that this music has been with me, and I just love it.
Is there a major difference between conducting a European classic versus an American classic?
Yes, but especially when it comes to certain types of music, like for example the jazz element that is quite present in this program, both with the concerto in F, but mostly with the Harlem Ellington. There's something that it would be harder to put it this way, to carry through with an European orchestra, because there's something about the rhythm, the swing rhythm, for instance, is something that you really need to feel. There are nuances like that, and I think I've mentioned that I've been in Vienna. I studied conducting in Vienna, and if I make the reverse comparison, for instance, when I first started studying in Vienna, I didn't think much about Wiener waltzes and Strauss waltzes.
Mm.
But then I got to hear them with the Vienna Philharmonic, yes. And I understood the complexity of how to make those, because those rhythms can't not really be precisely notated. So I guess in a way it's hard for a North American orchestra to really play in the right style a really good Wiener waltz. But the opposite is absolutely true. I mean, it's hard for a European orchestra to really get the sense of how this jazz idiom is actually working when you do that with a big ensemble. And now going to Tanglewood this week with BSO, I mean, they have that so much ingrained in them that it's going to be for me just pure pleasure to do this type of music with an orchestra. This is kind of, in my opinion, an expert in this style.
We have almost no time left, but I wanted to ask you one very simple question. You don't mind, do you? If I ask you, which is the greatest orchestra in the world?
Oh my God! Well, it depends on the repertoire. And last year, I mean, I've heard BSO before, and I came to visit them last January. Andres was conducting a Bruckner symphony in the hall. And this is a really a top orchestra. And it depends on the repertoire. It depends on the combination of the chemistry with conductors. So certainly in the U.S., BSO is at the top of my list, with, of course, with my own orchestra in New Jersey, with my thing. And in Europe, I mean, I have a special relationship with Vienna Philharmonic. I haven't conducted them yet. But I feel I grew up with them, because studying there, I heard them so much at the opera in concert. Montreal Symphony is another orchestra that is very close to my heart. So, and it's, at the end of the day, I think it's also, for me as a conductor, sort of personal relationship with different orchestras that makes a difference.
Well, we're out of time, but I did want to ask you, sneak one more in, has Chris Christie ever come to hear the orchestra?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. It's a great pleasure to talk to Jacques Lacombe, who will conduct the 2015 opening night at Tanglewood, an all-American program in the Shed on Friday, July 3rd. Jacques Lacombe, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Evan. Great pleasure. Thanks.
For more information, visit tanglewood.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.